that our song started to stutter as we were singing it. The same thing happened at Bainbridge this morning. We were singing our closing song, and it was a video, and to start cutting out, cutting back in again, cutting out, cutting back in again. Now, Waymaker is a great song. I don't know if you've heard it. I mean, I'm sure you've heard it before. Waymaker is one of those songs that really moves you, that really gets your spirits up. And it just made me think that how many days have I been in a place where my spirits are up, I'm ready to worship the Lord, but life starts buffering. Life starts cutting out on me, or cutting in on my worship time, starts cutting in on my belief, starts cutting in on my good day. And what happens? I usually favor the bad day over the worship. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And an even closer example would be, you know, last week. Now, last week, I really couldn't be here. I was coughing up something awful. You know, we would have had like a splash zone in the first two rows. But today, when I woke up, I still had the cough. I still felt very groggy. My wife came to me, and God bless my wife, by the way, for filling in for me last week. She's a wonderful woman who I can always count on in times like that for to step up. I know I can trust her with the message, and she came home very excited last week. But this morning she woke up, and she's like, "Are you gonna make it?" And I said, "You know what? I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it because I feel like if I ever stop spreading the word of Jesus, that it's just gonna implode my world. We need to express our voices into the world, into the community, to the people that we love, the people around us. And oddly enough, today is the National Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. So you may see me bounce back and forth here between the Bible, and I have a little notes here. These are the notes that came from the Voice of the Martyrs. Have you ever heard of them? It's a great organization that helps the persecuted church around the world. And they sent me a couple notes about some of the churches that are out there that need help. I came home yesterday. I had a meeting yesterday over up in Bainbridge. And I looked at my phone, as we always do, and I saw the government is talking about Nigeria. I didn't know this was going on, to be honest. I mean, I knew they had problems, but apparently it's reached a new level in Nigeria where many, many Christians are being murdered, where many, many Christians are being driven out of their villages, being captured, churches being burned down so much so that it's gotten the attention of our president, and he was talking about it and is going to get involved if somebody else doesn't. So that being said, I had no idea that was going on. I had no idea. Even though I knew today was the National Day of Prayer for the persecuted church, somehow that got by my radar. I guess it's not headline news. So today I did bring a video with me from Voice of the Martyrs. This actually is going to talk about some people that are in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where Islamists are attacking Christian villages. So, Wes, if you have that video ready, if you want to put it on up there.
Heavenly Father, ride with us today. Listen to the cries of your children and
make us instruments of your peace. Amen.
My name is Mahindu. I am a Christian. My village was attacked in June. I was taken with some others into the forest. They said, if you become Muslim, you can be spared. If you refuse, we will kill you.
My name is Kasaka. I am a Christian. My friends and I were coming out of our field. We were attacked by rebels. They had weapons. We were outnumbered. They tied us up and began to slaughter us. One by one. With their machetes.
Remember to listen more than to speak. Remember to let God speak through His word. And three,
ask, pray, and above all, be there.
They killed both my brothers because they had refused to convert. And I said to myself, they can kill me, but I am not going to become a Muslim. About that time, the army came and rescued us. The soldiers tried to ask me questions, but I could not speak. I had no words. My voice was broken.
They were killing my friends. And I was the third before the last. And feeling like I was already dead. And then, there was a commotion. The person before me had some money in his pocket, and the rebels began fighting each other for it. And when I saw them fighting, God spoke to me and said, run. I ran, and three of them followed me. They followed me, but they could not catch me.
What did you do next?
I hid in the bush for a long time.
My brothers were left in the bushes without being buried. My whole village has been killed. There is nobody left.
When I received the Bible, I opened to Psalms 23. I've walked in the valley of the shadow of death.
After I was attacked, I lost the ability to speak. But I am beginning to move past the heart. I am praying again.
See something like that, the brief 5 minutes that we got to be in their world, how does it make us feel? What is that? Awful. Exactly. How else does it make us feel? Angry. That's a good one. Angry. a lot of times our thoughts are going to be anger and feeling awful. Some people might just feel indifferent. They might say, well, that's the whole way over there. That's not bothering me none. Or they disconnect from it and they say stuff like, well, I just hope that never happens here. But I hate to tell you, it's happening here. Not to that extreme, not to the extreme that they are facing. But yes, today is the National Prayer Day for the persecuted church. The church are the people, but the church is more. Two things that stood out to me when I watched that video. For one, when the young lady said that after her capture, she had no voice. Remember her saying that? I think she said it twice. She could not speak because of her capture. Why? Because of what she had gone through. And then I turned around and I watched the video and saw the ending where they're standing outside the building. And what did you see outside the building? You saw people interacting. People lined up to talk to the Christian workers. Why? Because they needed their help. And I can't help, when I watched this video and I saw all those people standing outside that building in the Democratic Republic of Congo, an image flashed in my mind of all the people standing outside trick-or-treat night at this very building. What's the difference? You could say, well, they're not being chased out of town with machetes. Well, our churches aren't being burnt down. You know, people aren't being kidnapped and killed. But if we look at it, aren't they? Aren't certain people being driven away from believing in Jesus? Not necessarily by armies, militias, but by their own situations. How many times are our situations so hard that we walk away from Jesus ourselves? So today, when we're thinking about the National Day of Prayer for the persecuted church, there's so much more to the persecuted church than buildings being burned down and people being kidnapped. In this world, in this country, in this town, there's so many things driving us away from Jesus. It doesn't have to be. And when we talked about our feelings, you know, I heard you say you're upset and sad. Yes, you're upset and sad. And you're angry. Yes, you're angry. But how many times can those feelings quickly change when it's happening in our own backyard? What happens to our feelings when it's happening to us? A lot of times it says that people have a place of denial because it's so far away, and people respond with unhelpful and productive, immature thoughts. That's what they have written down here with Voice of the Martyrs. But biblical disciples must realize that they will experience brokenness and prepare for those seasons through developing an intimate relationship with the Lord. So from that, what I pulled, the feelings that are the most dangerous, and I believe more common. Why would God allow that to happen? Why is God allowing Christians to be murdered? Why is God allowing her brothers to die? We heard that story too, right? But one thing I also know is that woman who had the two brothers that died also said, I would not give up my Christianity, my belief in God, if it meant my life. So it makes me reflect on the two brothers that were killed. Why were they killed? I'm guessing, based on the evidence that we have, they were killed because they wouldn't give up their belief in Jesus Christ either. And then I think back here at Columbia, Pennsylvania. And I think of my own family. And I think of my friends. And I think of the people around us. I know many people that have not given their life to Christ. But my voice is silent in their presence. Why is that? Is that fear? Is that disinterest? Am I that disconnected? Why can I look at a video and say, oh my gosh, that's horrible that these women are being killed, these men are being killed because of their belief in Christ? But we really have it opposite. We have it backwards here. Because what is death? Separation from God. So let's say, hypothetically, I have two brothers who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Jesus. They're sentenced to death. And for some reason, I'm okay with it. Or I'm not trying to interfere. Because I myself, at one time in my life, did not give my life to Christ. So I know there were times that I denied Christ in my life. And just the same way that these villages are suffering from people being kidnapped every day, people are being taken away from the kingdom of heaven by the world around us. That's why I thought the parade was so cool on Halloween. It's full of villains. Well, guess what? We're showing up with Jesus. We're not going to walk down the street and be one of them. We're not going to show up and dress up as the devil, as some people suggested. We showed up and said, our God is bigger. Our God is bigger. But the same trap that when we say, well, why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God putting this in my life? Why is God doing this to me? But it's not God at all. It's the devil. And to hell with the devil. That's where he belongs. That's where Jesus is going to put him. And we have to be secure in our faith. Our faith needs to be stronger because Jesus is bigger. We need to believe this. Earlier we read the scripture, Psalm 34. It says, the Lord is near to the heartbroken and saves the crushed in spirit. Have you ever been crushed in spirit? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When your spirits are crushed, you're not getting up in the morning. You're not going to work. You're not going to church. But what Psalm 34 says, that the Lord is near the heartbroken. Broken or the brokenhearted, and saves the crushed in spirit, and that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers them out of them all. Yes, we need to pray for the persecuted church. I am not saying we do not need to pray for the persecuted church, but we need to have their strength. Again, Voice of the Martyrs is the organization that sent me this information. What is a martyr? Someone who dies for what they believe in. Earlier in service, we celebrated communion, remembrance of Jesus. How many at that dinner were martyrs? All of them. Some may question Judas, but I think he ran out. But anyhow, every single man at that table who shared in communion with Christ became a martyr. Was the devil able to stop the word of God by killing those men? No. We are here 2,000 plus years later from 12 men. I say 12 because I'm including Jesus. So when we see this, why do we have weakness instead of strength when sharing the word of God? Why do we show weakness and not say, God is bigger? Because even the man who wrote Psalm 34, David, we all know David, right? David the shepherd. David the king. David the hero. David the sinner. And David wrote those words in the book of Psalm, saying that even when his spirit is crushed, the Lord is with him. David penned this psalm so that there was no question in the mind of believers that we will experience brokenness or being crushed in spirit. It is a reality. It is going to happen to us all. The difference is when you have God close, when you live in the love of God, you will be stronger. God created us in his image. God didn't create us any differently. He loves us and taught us to love one another. That's important. No other creature that he created, that he said was good, has the same love ability that we have. People may argue about their dog, but no, your dog doesn't love you the way that God loves you. What we need to realize is we need to find strength in the Word of God. We are all going to face broken hearts and crushed spirits. We know that. Richard Wurmbrand was in prison for 14 years for teaching the gospel to people. And I'm reading a quote from his, from a book that his wife had written. And he said in this book, he was quoted in this book, a faith that can be destroyed by suffering is not faith. Faith is stronger because why? God is bigger. I'm going to jump into scripture real quick here. I know we're late in time, but I think this is important, and I want to go and share this with you. I'm jumping the whole way to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, because this is the scriptural evidence. I'm not making this up. Voice of the Martyrs is not making this up. This is real, this is true, and it is written, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. We are hard pressed on every side. Did you ever feel that way? Did you ever feel like the world's just closing in on you and crushing you and you don't know if you can take any more? But guess what? It says, yet we are not crushed. It says we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but are not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. That woman who lost her two brothers did not focus on the death of her brothers, but she focused on the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection that makes her strong and makes her brothers strong enough to be in heaven right now. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. We all face death, but do we face it with the light of Jesus on our side? It goes on to say, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak, that knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. The power of God. And we will be present with him. And for all things are for your sake. The grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. It's all for God's glory. That's why we're still here 2,000 years later. They could not kill off God's glory when killing the apostles. They couldn't do it when they killed Jesus. Because God rose him up again, and in that, we are risen as well. We are risen in God's power. There's a quote that says, this is from James A. Johnson. He's with Voice of the Martyrs. I like this quote. It says, when God rescues us from trouble, he doesn't always airlift us out of danger. And I think that's what we want, right? We want danger to just disappear all around us. But since this psalm, Psalm 34, which we read, was fulfilled in Christ's death and resurrection, we conclude that God will allow us to go through hard troubles and even die, so that he can save us by raising us to the resurrection life. If you want to take refuge in him, you need the faith to believe that God gives life to the dead. If he promises to rescue you, and he has, he is able to keep his word and save you even after you die. We read that story in the Bible, right? Lazarus died. Everybody was worried. Risen 4 days later. You see, the thing is, when we don't let God in charge of our life, we lose the power of faith, the power of prayer, and the certainness of God's promise to us. And sometimes we can feel like we're not worthy. Sometimes we can feel like we're too broken. I've been there. I've told my story before with my ups and downs in life. And the same as we talked earlier about David. God protects us through all of that. David, again, knew the importance of his relationship with God. And when his spirit was crushed, the Lord was near. I think about the leper. We all know what a leper is, right? A leper came to Jesus when Jesus was a man here on earth. And sometimes I felt like that leper. Sometimes I felt like I was shunned away from the rest of the world, not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord for the things that I've done, or the people that I've known, or the things that I've seen. But we read in Mark 1:40 about this leper. And the leper came to him, meaning Jesus, and he implored to him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's the place I needed to reach. I needed to humble myself before my Savior and say, make me clean. And just as the leper, you know what Jesus did? Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him. You didn't touch lepers back then. Lepers were the lowest scum of the earth. And that's how I felt before I knew Jesus. This leper came to Jesus, and Jesus says, I love you. And Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched him, and he says to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Now, I didn't walk to the Lord with leprosy, but I walk to him with sin. And I still walk to him with sin. It doesn't go away. But I know that the Lord is near me. And I believe in the promises that God has given us. And to be hopeful for our situations that we're facing. We have to believe that God will meet us on his time and not give up hope. We need to believe that Jesus will show his love to us and he will meet us where we're at. We don't take ourselves up to the Lord. We kneel before him and he comes to us. That is the living hope of Jesus Christ. And that is why he is bigger than anything. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. O Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray.